Hello, and welcome to Nightcap with Jim. I am the titular Jim, and tonight we'll be discussing Trollhunters in celebration of Part 3 dropping on Netflix today. For more content you may enjoy, please check out our morning Magami podcast and our other social media and Magami players on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and YouTube. Before we get into our main topic, we're going to talk about a new trailer that just dropped today. Christopher Robin. So, just really quickly, before we get into talking about Trollhunters, our main topic this evening, Christopher Robin just dropped its first official trailer, and I just watched it, and my God, it literally brought some tears to my eyes, guys. For those of you who don't know, Christopher Robin is a live-action Winnie the Pooh movie. Starring Ewan McGregor as an adult Christopher Robin who's kind of lost his way. He's wrapped up in his professional life and he's not, you know, he's not being there for his family and stuff. And from what I can gather of the story through the trailer, it's Winnie the Pooh just shows up in London. It's like, hey, what's up? Let's go back to the Hundred Acre Wood and hang out, and you know, because I've lost all my friends. So they go back to the Hundred Acre Wood and reunite the main members of Team Winnie the Pooh. And then they have to leave the Hundred Acre Wood to go and save Christopher Robin. it looks just amazing, you guys. I mean, when I say, you know, that it brought me to tears, I'm not exaggerating. It just looks like such a beautiful film. I can't wait to see it. I've been a fan of Winnie the Pooh my entire life, as far back as I can remember. I mean, my earliest recollections are of watching Winnie the Pooh, the original cartoon series, on Disney Channel and stuff like that. I don't know what it is, but Winnie the Pooh just hits me where I live. I just love Winnie the Pooh so much. And all the other characters, you know, Piglet and Tigger and Eeyore, and Kanga and Roo and Rabbit and Owl. They're just all so awesome. Like, just, ugh, can't wait to see this movie, guys. You know, like, I'm not one to go and watch a children's kind of movie in the theaters, but this one I'm gonna go see for sure, because it just looks so awesome. I just can't wait to see it, and this trailer makes the movie look so cool. But yeah, check out the trailer and then, you know, add that to your watch list. Christopher Robin, August 3rd is when it comes out in theaters, and oh boy, am I excited. So now the main topic of the night, Trollhunters. On Netflix. Boy, what a cool show this is. You know, I really dig it a lot. It's just a lot of fun. You know, it's got a little bit of everything. You know, it's got some really cool action. It's got some pretty intense drama. It's got the laughs. You know, it's got the little bit of, you know, little hint of a teenage love story going on. You know, just all these really great elements coming together, and it's just a really cool, fun show. You know, but like I said, it's got its dark moments, so it really, you know, it's one of those, one of the kind of, it's got it all kind of projects, which you know, I'm a huge fan of stuff like that when it's just like, hey, you know, we can do it all, but you know, what else do you expect from Guillermo del Toro? The guy is a straight-up genius, you know. He just makes such great art. I mean, fantastic. And I say art, not movies and not TV shows, because he does it all. And this series is actually based off of a book that he co-wrote, And then they were like, hey, why don't we turn this into a little animated TV show? Which is fantastic. You know, DreamWorks Animations does it. So the animation is, of course, top-notch. It kicks ass. It's just so good, you know. And the story, I just love it. Like, basically the idea is, if you don't know what the show is, so it's this kid, Jim Lake. And, you know, he's just your kind of everyday kid. You know, a couple notable exceptions. Like, he kind of helps take care of his mom because his mom's a medical professional. And so she works a lot. And so he, you know, cooks for her and stuff like that. And, you know, just watches out for her, you know, here and there. Take, you know, a little extra responsibility because she is a single parent. Which that's something that I'm hoping that part three will kind of explain to me, is because I'm not really sure. I mean, it could have been in part two, maybe towards the end of part one, but I'm not really sure where Jim Lake's dad is. They could have told me and I might have just forgot. but yeah, I hope, you know, it's somewhere in there because I would really like to know. So basically the story is, you know, he's just your regular kid, and then on his way to school one day with his best friend Toby, he sees this big old pile of rock in the reservoir, the whatever. And there's this kind of voice that's calling out to him a little bit. This ethereal just voice calling out to him, Jim. and he, you know, looks through the rubble and he finds this amulet underneath some of the rock, and he doesn't think too much of it. He comes home and you know, he goes down to the basement and he finds a couple of trolls down there, and they tell him that he is the new troll hunter. And on top of that, he's the very first human troll hunter. Now, I can hear some of you and your brains are like, wait a minute. Why would he be the first human troll hunter? So all the other troll hunters have been trolls? Why would a troll be a troll hunter? My brain is breaking! Calm down. Everything's going to be all right. I'm here for you. The troll hunter is not necessarily a position of hunting and killing trolls, although that is one of the responsibilities, obviously. The position, though, was created because of a really awful, horrible, mean, bad guy troll by the name of Gunmar, who's, you know, basically your world domination kind of a villain. Very original, though. You know, like that's the thing, is like there's a lot of archetypes out there in the storytelling world. Even when your character falls into you know, a class or a type or an archetype, if they're done well and, you know, originally in some way, shape, or form and fashion, they're going to be amazing. And Gunmar is a great villain. And one of the nice things about it is that we don't really get to know him too much early on in the story. He's mostly represented by proxy by his son, Bular, voiced by Ron Perlman, which is a Guillermo del Toro staple at this point. You know, pretty much every project that del Toro's done since the mid-90s has had Perlman in it in one way or another. Actually, that could be a different director that I'm thinking about. I think that's a different director I'm thinking about. Not the mid-90s, but like I think since they did Hellboy together, they've done, you know, Perlman's been involved in a lot of del Toro's projects, which is great. You know, I love Ron Perlman. He's a great actor. And he does a great job with the voice acting here in this show, as do all of the voice actors. Kelsey Grammer, especially, I've got to give a shout out to. He voices the kind of the main troll that we get to spend time with, named Blinkus or Blinky. And he just does a phenomenal job, you know. I mean, so good. Like, his performance is outstanding. If he didn't win, I know he's been nominated for an Emmy for this role. You know, and awards aren't everything, but still, that says a little something, you know. Because he just kills it, guys. You know, just such a good job. And then. I apologize. I haven't looked up who the voice actor is who plays his buddy, but he does a great job as well. And this character has got one of the best names ever in history, and it's his name is Arg. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take a minute and laugh this off because this is too good. I mean, his character's name is Arg. It's just, I just love that so much. Arg is one of my favorite characters I think I've ever come across. He's just so awesome, you know. He's this really big, you know, just massive troll, just this massive dude. But he's just such a sweetheart, you know, at the same time. You know, he's just got this gentleness about him for someone who is just ginormous, which is great. He's probably also not just one of my favorite characters, but also one of my favorite looking characters. You know, I just love the character design of Arg. He just looks so freaking cool, like, just so awesome, you know, like, I just don't know, you know, it's tough to describe the trolls, and, like, the animation style, but, beyond just complimenting it and saying that it's just freaking awesome, it's just so good, which is great, you know. I just love the animation style of this show, which, definitely helps, you know, because whenever animation suffers, that's, you know, it's the same thing when you're doing a live action movie. If the camera work isn't very good, you know, the production design, so on and so forth, if there's any chinks in the armor, then it just detracts from how much you're going to be able to enjoy the project, which is a real big bummer. But luckily we don't have that problem with Troll Hunters. Not at all. It's superbly done. Just wonderful animation. You know, it's DreamWorks. You know, like, they kill it. They're just really good at this stuff. You know, and when you have that kind of stuff going on, you're just able to really get into the story. That's just beautiful stuff. So, you know, hats off to DreamWorks for, you know, just totally bringing it again, as they do with all their projects, Kung Fu Panda and How to Train Your Dragon are two of my just favorite things ever, you know, because they just really hit me. And DreamWorks is great at that. DreamWorks is great at taking these projects and really just presenting these stories and getting you into them and taking you, teleporting, transporting you to this world so you can really go on this journey with these characters. And that's what's great. And again, like, for me, television shows, I always think the best television shows evolve over time in one way or another. Most of the time that involves adding new characters, like regular characters, to the fold. So, you know, you look at something like Hawaii Five-0, they start out with, you know, just the four, you know, main characters, McGarrett, Dano, Oh geez, I'm blanking on their names because I'm not supposed to talk about. I wasn't planning on talking about Hawaii Five-0, but you get what I'm. Chin Ho Kelly and Kona Kalakaua. There we go. I got it. Sorry, I had to go into my memory palace, my mind palace for a second, and be like, Hawaii Five-0. Look up the files on Hawaii Five-0. Characters, characters. Come on. But anyway, yeah. So they just start out with those main four characters, right? And then as the show goes on. Season 3 and 4 and 5, they add more and more characters to the team, and just peripheral characters as well, which is great. I just love it when shows do that, when they start out kind of small and then they kind of just bring more and more characters in and just make it more and more of an ensemble. I think that might have been one of the reasons why Fox axed Firefly is because Joss Whedon was like super ambitious and was just like nine characters right out of the gate. Episode one, we're dealing with nine people, and that's pretty heavy. I totally disagree with Fox. I think they're pretty stupid for canceling Firefly because it was such an amazing show. But still, it's like I kind of can because it can be distracting. When you have way too many characters. Just right out of the gate from the first episode, it can be tough to not just like engage, but just to remember all this stuff, but again, Trollhunters doesn't suffer from this at all. I mean, there's a bunch of characters, but some of them are eased into the story, like they kind of start out as secondary characters and then evolve into main characters, which is awesome. Because you do get to spend time with them, but not all the time. So you get to spend a little bit of time with them here, a little there, and then by X point in the story, now you're spending a lot of time with them, and that's really cool because then you get to know them a lot better than you would if it was just they were just there all the time, and but you're having to deal with all these other characters that are also there all the time. So, it's really cool because you really get to know these characters, all of them, individually and collectively, which is just fantastic. Just perfect formula for this particular show. And oh, just such a great story. I don't want to give too much of the story away to you guys because I want you to go and watch it. And I don't want to ruin it for you, because it's just so much fun, like the mythology of it, and all the like the backstory of the title, the position of Troll Hunter, like the backstory of that, and then some of the like Arg has a great backstory, which is like really intense. But super interesting and things like that, and then just like all the different kinds of creatures and trolls that we meet throughout the story. So cool. I mean, I'm gonna give one away, one just really cool character, just to kind of tease you a little bit. There's a troll, or I think he's a troll. I'm pretty sure he's a troll, but yeah, he's a troll. But it's this character, and he's a mountain, like. Literally, like, I mean, he's just a mount. He is a mountain. I'm not saying like he's big as a mountain. He is as big a mountain, as big as a mountain, because he is a mountain. I mean, like, he literally can't leave this one physical location because he's a mountain. So, so just like all kinds of cool, crazy characters like that, and then they have gnomes running around, and they're not your like cool, friendly gnomes. They're like crazy, psychotic, like anarchistic type of gnomes. It's so funny and cool though. Oh, but yeah, it's just a really good time show, but at the same time, it's got that drama and it's got the peril, because we're dealing with heavy stuff. It's like it actually does kind of make me think about anime and manga a little bit, manga and a little bit because because that's a lot of the kind of stuff that happens in anime and manga is a very young person being thrust into this position of power or leadership or danger, and having to, you know, figure out how they're going to, you know, take care of business, which is fantastic. You know, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the young adult novel kind of craze that's been going on for the past decade. I mean, some good stuff has come out of that, but, you know, I feel like, you know, a couple of those people had, you know, tuned in to watch Naruto or something like that, and then were like, huh, I bet we could do something like that. And then you get, you know, crap like Twilight, which is just, like, ugh, depressing. But that's neither here nor there. But it does, you know, because Jim is, he's a high school kid, you know, his best friend is a high school kid, obviously. And then, you know, he's got a crush on this chick, Claire, who's obviously high schooler. So, you know, and then he's having to deal with being the protector of not just the human world, but the troll world as well. And the mantle of responsibility, you know, that's just insane. If you, like, sit and analyze it like I do sometimes, you know, just to think about, like, these characters, if they were real, even, and not even if they were real, but just, like, in the context of their story, you know, I mean, wow, you know, I mean, just think about being a kid, you know, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, and then being put into these situations like Jim Lake from Trollhunters, or Naruto, you know, or Goku from Dragon Ball, and so on and so forth. You know what I mean? Like, to think about being that young and having that thrust upon you, it just makes for a really interesting and compelling and intense dramatic storytelling. I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of these anime and manga are so successful across all demographics, and why I think Trollhunters will prove to be as well. I mean, it is a children's show technically, but like I said, it's got enough drama, it's got enough action, it's got enough peril and intense moments that, you know, a fully grown man like myself can sit there and watch it with utter joy and glee, you know, and not be like, oh, I'm like a little kid right now, you know, like, yeah, it totally takes me back to, you know, when I would watch stuff when I was a kid, but at the same time, it doesn't, because I think, like, a lot of these projects nowadays, especially something like Trollhunters or Kung Fu Panda, How to Train Your Dragon, like, I've been saying this for years, but, I haven't gotten a chance to say it on the podcast yet because I haven't talked about any of these animation projects. But I really truly believe that a lot of these things out there, like, they're not just for kids anymore. You know, these animated movies, you know, the Pixar and the DreamWorks and so on, they're not just for kids anymore. Because that's what it used to be, you know, like, you had your Winnie the Poohs and stuff like that. And Winnie the Pooh, like, I don't, like, hey, I still love Winnie the Pooh. If you put Winnie the Pooh on, I'm going to watch that. Hell yeah. You know, if I have kids, they're going to be watching Winnie the Pooh, and I'm going to be watching it right there with them. And I don't even care if my kid likes it or not. Like, I'm just going to play it just because. And they're going to be like, Daddy, why do we always watch Winnie the Pooh? Well, because it's appropriate programming for you, young one. But also because I love it. You know, I don't know how many of you adults out there would, like, really be able to sit there and watch Winnie the Pooh and take it seriously like I do, you know, or even, you know, enjoy it, like, you know, because you might, in the back of your head, just be like, this is for kids. And, you know, fair play. I mean, because it is. But these DreamWorks and Pixar stuff, I mean, like, Toy Story 3 was so intense, dude. I mean, that movie was like the great escape from the perspective of toys that come to life, you know? I mean, and The Great Escape is a big adventure movie, but at the same time, it's pretty intense as well. Like, I mean, maybe even more like, you know, I mean, I don't know, just like some more hardcore prison camp movie, you know, like I don't know, like Bridge on the River Kwai or something like that. Because I remember watching Toy Story 3 and being like, what is this? This is ridiculous. Like, this is so dark. I mean, it's amazing, but it's so dark. you know, but hey, you know, and then, you know, stuff like WALL-E, which WALL-E is one of my favorites. I mean, I'll probably do an episode on WALL-E at some point because I just love that. But yeah, Trollhunters and all these other projects, I mean, you know, they're totally accessible to older generations. You know, they're not just for younglings anymore, these kinds of things, is my personal opinion. I feel like I would know, because I watch a lot of stuff. So, you know, hey, I don't know. Maybe it's just me accessing my inner kid, or, you know, maybe I'm, you know, just seeing it in some different way that makes me think that, you know, adults are totally, like, able to get into this stuff as well. I don't know. Watch the project for yourself, and you tell me. but yeah, Trollhunters, it's really, really good show, guys. I mean, hey, even if you're an adult and you're not feeling, you know, watching something that's, you know, TVY7 or whatever the rating is on it, hey, I would recommend it for if you're a parent and you've got kids, you know? I mean, like, maybe watch what, you know, like, maybe not like a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, but, you know, like 5, 6, 7, you know, I feel like they could get into it. But hey, you know, like, we've established that I'm not a parent, so I don't know. Because like I said, you know, some of these things are a little bit darker, so I would just watch. If you're a parent and you think you might want to show it to your kid, I would sit down and just watch a couple episodes so you can get the feel for it and be like, okay, maybe not let my 2 or 3-year-old watch this, but, you know, maybe my 5 or 6, 7-year-old. Because there are some, like I said, there are some pretty intense moments. Some of these characters, you know, like Bular and Gunmar, the villain characters, they're pretty scary. You know, and like I said, Ron Perlman, he does a really good job voice acting, but he doesn't really have, like, the most kid-friendly voice when he's being a nice guy. And when he's being a villain, you know, his voice could give your kid nightmares. So just be careful. Just be careful, for all you parents out there. You know, I don't want to get in any trouble by recommending this TV show and have somebody message me, "This show gave my kid nightmares. How dare you, Jim? How dare you? I'm boycotting Nightcap with Jim forever because you gave my kid nightmares." So, there's your warning. Oh, I'm having too much of a good time on this episode, guys. I apologize for all the laughter, but I'm having way too good of a time, so I think I'm gonna end it. But yeah, Trollhunters, it's great. Part 3 just dropped on Netflix today, May 25th. Highly recommend you check it out. It's a really great show. It's super well made from top to bottom. Yeah, so check it out. And yeah, that's going to be our show for tonight. Thank you so much for listening. And please tune in to our morning show with Heath and our other social media content at Manga Me Players on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and YouTube. Thank you again so much for stopping by for a nightcap. Have a good night.